Ginny McCormick is a small, quiet woman in her early 30s and a single mom of three. McCormick was raised devoutly Mormon in Pocatello, Idaho, where she's lived all her life. And until last year, she was used to going unnoticed.
I kind of always kept to myself. You know, I've never had, like, enemies or anything. So, I mean, it's different now.
How is it different?
The stares I get, I had to quit my job because people didn't want me to help them.
People recognize her from the newspaper stories that followed her arrest. McCormick won't talk about the day she had an abortion. She's following her attorney's advice. But here's what the public record says. In late 2010, McCormick learned she was pregnant. The father was out of the picture. Her youngest was barely two, and she was living off child support checks. Getting an abortion would have cost at least $500 and required multiple trips back and forth to a clinic hours away. So McCormick turned to the rising number of internet suppliers of abortion pills. Now, this is where the story gets more complicated. RU486 is medically recommended only within the first 9 weeks of pregnancy. It turns out that McCormick was way past that, although she said she didn't realize it at the time. After she aborted the fetus, she was horrified by how far along it seemed, possibly as much as 20 weeks. McCormick confided in a friend. It was this friend's sister that tipped off the police. McCormick picks up the story on the evening the police arrived at her apartment.
I just got done doing laundry, and my little boy was asleep, and they came and knocked on my door, and...
And the police found the fetus wrapped up in bags on her back porch. McCormick said she didn't know what else to do with it. The police took her into the station.
I didn't understand any of it. And that's the first thing I said to him when he questioned me. I was like, how can you question me about my personal stuff? And he said, well, there's legal and there's personal.
In a preliminary hearing, her medical history and personal relationships became part of the case against her. Her attorney is Richard Hearn, who in true small-town fashion also has a medical license. He says this was unlike any other abortion case he had ever seen.
There are many cases where they either prosecute or threaten to prosecute a doctor. There are not so many where they've actually prosecuted a woman.
McCormick ran afoul of a 1972 Idaho law that makes it a felony for a woman to perform her own abortion. Not only does the law predate Roe v. Wade, it predates RU486. Mark Heidemann was the county prosecutor who pursued the case against McCormick. He says her case raises new questions about the legality of women obtaining the so-called abortion pill online. Yet to Heidemann's surprise, the case has attracted little attention from either side.
You'd think that with an issue like this that it would be something that people would be more up in arms about and talking about, but I don't see that, and I'm not sure why.
The reason appears to be in the details. One of the few pro-life groups we could find willing to say anything about McCormick was the Susan B. Anthony List. President Marjorie Dannenfelser calls the case
not acceptable. We do not think that women should be criminalized. Criminal sanctions or any kind of sanctions are appropriate for abortionists and not for women.
And that's the tricky thing about the case for the pro-life side, according to Will Salatin. Salatin writes about reproductive health politics for Slate magazine.
The prosecution of abortion, which always hinged on the doctor being the targeted party, now has to target the woman. And the pro-life movement is completely unprepared for that.
But major pro-choice groups have also greeted the case with silence. Salatin says that's because of what they see as the conservative makeup of the current Supreme Court.
If you're a pro-choice group right now, the last thing you want to do is bring a case before the Roberts Court.
But, he says, if you do...
This is not the plaintiff you want. You don't want somebody who, you know, procured her own abortion fairly late in pregnancy. You want to choose your plaintiff very carefully.
Three lower-profile pro-choice groups have filed a legal brief on behalf of McCormick. Lynn Paltrow is the president of one of those groups, the National Advocates for Pregnant Women. She sees McCormick as the start of a disturbing trend.
You pass laws first that say only physicians can perform abortions, then you pass laws that make it impossible for those physicians to provide abortions, and then women take the steps they need to take as they do all around the world, as they did before Roe, and you create a perfect setup for making literally millions of women subject to arrest for having illegal self-abortions.
Which one do you want? Pick it up.
Back in Pocatello, McCormick is at home trying to get her now 3-year-old son to calm down.
Oh, meow.
He has a painful ear infection.
Come on, baby.
McCormick doesn't go out much. The injunction McCormick's attorney filed against the county prosecutor keeps her from being arrested, but the county is continuing its investigation against her. McCormick says church was a solace for a while, until she sat through a recent sermon on abortion. She thinks it was aimed at her.
They can sit there and judge me, but it's not the easiest choice to ever have to make. And it was all, a lot of it was about my children, and I couldn't put any more on them or me.
McCormick has just started a business online to see if she can make some extra money selling handmade wreaths and other crafts. But she doesn't want to say the name of the business, even to promote it. She says she doesn't want anyone to know it's her. I'm Jessica Robinson reporting.